This morning, I'd like to speak to all of you from the Word of God. And today's passage is quite challenging. It's a passage about how the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross. Sometimes you may ask this question: how come there's so much suffering in the world? Why is there so much sickness? It's a lot of feedback. Why is there so much pain, sorrow, killing? And sometimes it's hard to understand why this is happening. Still a bit of feedback. Cut it down. Okay. You know, when Mr. Fu was in hospital, and when he was in ICU, we went to visit him, and we could see him struggle. There was pain. Well, he's out of ICU, and we thank God for that. But when I was there, I could see a lot of sick people. There's also much killing in the world. Just last week, a man took a gun, went to a church during worship service in Texas, and he opened fire, and he killed 26 people worshiping God in the morning. This was at First Baptist Church in Texas. And out of the 26 people who died, 8 of them came from the same family, 3 generations of family members. One who survived was the name John Holcomb. His wife, who was expecting, was killed. The wife had 3 daughters from a previous marriage, were also killed. His parents, father and mother, were killed. His brother and his niece were killed. 8 family members killed in an instant. And just recently, they had a funeral for all 8 of them. The grandfather was devastated. John's grandfather. You know, to go through such suffering, how can someone cope in such times like this? And the word that John said to the people, please pray for us. You know, it's not easy to go through suffering. It's hard to go through times where we have to face all kinds of difficulties. How do we make sense of the suffering that we see in the world and maybe personally that we experience in small ways and in great ways? You know, sometimes we can approach suffering in a wrong way. And for King David, when he went through suffering, he went through it in a wrong way. There was a wrong approach to it. Turn with me to Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. But it's also a psalm that David wrote and experienced. In Psalm 22, verse 1, we read a very famous cry to God. In verse 1, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? You know, these words were first words written by David. His approach was one of being self-absorbed. These were the first words he said when he went through his time of suffering. This was his first response. as he went through suffering, he felt that God has forsaken him. So he became fixated on his problem. There was a weakening of his spirit. And he struggled. He struggled coming to terms with a God whom he turned to and was silent. And he felt that God had forsaken him. And his problem is that he was self-absorbed. His focus was self, not God. And he struggled with the silence of God. You know, sometimes the problems that we go through are self-caused. For David, he was a man of war. He has fought in many wars. And along the way, he did some things that were not so right. He was a man of blood. And of course, as you fight in a war, and when you do wrong things, in the midst of a war, sure, the enemies will rise up and they will take revenge. And there were enemies who rose up and sought to take revenge. And so David was going through a very tough time. He did not know how to cope. And sometimes when we go through sufferings or when we go through problems, our first reaction is, perhaps, maybe God has forsaken us. Maybe if we feel that God is not hearing our prayers, why is God so silent? And that is our first response to God. And this is a wrong approach to God, a wrong approach to suffering. Now you may be asking me, what do I know about suffering? I have not suffered. But someone knows what suffering is. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I would like to present to you the need for a correct approach to suffering. Turn with me to Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, verse 45 and 46, we read of how the Lord Jesus, he said the same words. Now, from the sixth hour and until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, in Psalm 2, we read last week, or 2 weeks ago, of how the nations will rise up against the Lord's anointed, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will face much hostility from the world. In Psalm 16, Pastor spoke to us last week of how the Lord Jesus will go through suffering. Yes, he will resurrect from the dead, but he will also suffer the cup of suffering. And in Psalm 22, we read of how the Lord will go through severe suffering. But you see, there is a difference. There's a difference between how David approached suffering and how Jesus approached suffering. For David, the first words he said as he went through suffering were, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But for the Lord Jesus, he was crucified at 9 a.m., the third hour. And he said these words towards the end of his suffering. 6 hours later, then he said these words. So for the Lord Jesus, he bore with his suffering. hours hanging on the cross. And only at the last part, where it was the most where it was most agonizing, he said these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? So the Lord's approach to suffering is very different from David's approach to suffering. In Psalm 22, let's go back to Psalm 22, we read of how it was predicted, it was prophesied, how the Lord Jesus' hands would be pierced. In verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. That is an amazing prophecy of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the crucifixion. It is the worst punishment ever conceived. And this, at this point of time, the Romans had not invented the crucifixion yet. The Romans only came into power at 27 BC. When David wrote these words, it was about 1000 BC, about 1000 years earlier, before the crucifixion was even invented. It was already prophesied. And this was going to be the most cruel invention to kill a person. You know, for the Lord Jesus, he bore with his suffering. He bore with his suffering for 6 hours on the cross until he could not bear it anymore. You see, he was taking upon himself the sins of the world. He suffered on a cross because of a wicked world that he was in. He suffered on the cross because of a sinful world. And the Lord Jesus found the strength to cope through his suffering. What is Christmas all about? You know, Christmas is more than just happy things. Christmas is more than just about presents, parties, everything that is good. Christmas is also about suffering, about what the Lord Jesus was going to go through. One aspect about Christmas that we seldom consider is how Christmas is associated with suffering, pain, and sorrow. And when we look at the Lord Jesus, at how he went through suffering, we have a greater glimpse of how to go through suffering. You know, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, had to help David approach his suffering. And so he gave glimpses of how he will suffer in the future to David. See, David went through suffering. To some extent, it was self-caused. But for the Messiah, what he went through, his suffering was without a cause. There was no reason why he should suffer. And yet he suffered for our sins. And the gravity of the Lord's suffering is truly astounding. You know, he was despised by the people. The people ridiculed him. In Psalm 22, we read of how they would speak against him. In verse 6, a reproach of man and despised by the people. All those who see me ridiculed me. They shoot off the lip, they shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." You know, they mocked him on the cross. In verse 12, "Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death." You know, when I read this passage once again, I was deeply moved by what the Lord Jesus had to suffer. But more than just what he suffered, how he endured. How he endured the suffering on the cross. He wasn't self-absorbed. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was just thinking of us. He was thinking of the will that God had for him. He endured to the very end till he could not endure anymore. David started off with suffering by crying out to God. Why? For the Lord Jesus, he suffered and suffered and suffered. Every minute, every hour, 6 hours would have gone by. And only then he cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And I was deeply impacted by this. He experienced great pain. And so for the Lord Jesus, his suffering was most intense. And sometimes when you look at yourself, and you know, sometimes I look at my own challenges in life, the tendency is to be self-absorbed. The tendency is to look at self and you want to complain, you want to tell someone about it, you want to pray to God and tell God why. But sometimes when you look at someone else suffering so much, and you look at yourself and you tell yourself, "What is my suffering?" And for the Lord Jesus Christ, he coped with his suffering. And this morning, let's take a look at how the Lord Jesus coped with his suffering. In Psalm 22, verse 9 and in verse 10, we read, "But you are he who took me out of the womb. You make me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God." How did the Lord Jesus cope for that 6 hours on the cross? He learned. He learned to trust in God. But it was not just at that moment that he learned to trust in God. It was a lifetime of trusting in God. From infancy, from, you know, when he, you see, so this psalm is also about Christmas. From his birth, from the time when he was young, he started learning how to trust in God. A lifetime of trusting in God. In verse 3, we read, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you." There were the examples of those who trusted in God. And for the Lord Jesus, from birth, from young, he started learning how to trust in God. And at 33 years old, when he died on the cross, when he went through tremendous pain and suffering, he was able to trust in God. That is a lifetime of learning what it means to trust in God. And that was an application of trust from a lifetime of trusting. Young people, learn how to trust in God now. You know, life is challenging. There are many things that we will face in life. When do we start learning how to trust God? We trust God now. And as we face the challenges of life, we continue to trust in God. And our focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus found great trust in God. You know, I thank God. I thank God for His grace. I thank God for the last 33 years when I became serious with God with reference to my faith in Him. And this 33 years has been years of learning to trust in God. 30 years ago, when I first became a pilot trainee, it was a time of learning to trust in God. Yesterday, someone came to me and said, "Pastor Mitch, what is the worst thing that you have ever experienced in your life?" And I told him, "Learning under Pastor Charlie." No. I started by telling him how I had to learn when I was in school. When I faced failure, I learned to trust. When I became a pilot trainee, when I had an instructor, his call sign was Monster, I had to learn to trust. When I became a pilot, I had to learn to trust again. When I became a student pastor, and from what we have heard from all the student pastors this past few months, it's been challenging. I went through that too. So I identify with them. I thank God I'm not where they are right now. But I've learned to trust. And now as an associate pastor, taking on more things, still being corrected, still learning, but trusting God more. You know, I've learned for the last 33 years how to trust God. And my example is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see someone who has gone through so much suffering, and yet he can trust God. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 5, in verse 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." The second thing that I would like to share with you this morning concerning the Lord Jesus is sonship. How he learned to obey the will of God. What was at the back of his mind as he went through suffering? It was God's will. It was being a son to his father. It was in the midst of prayer as he cried out to God, as he cried before God. There came strength. There came the ability to suffer. And he was faithful to God to the very end. And for us, when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because we have someone who can truly understand what we go through, what we have experienced. Turn with me to chapter 4 of Hebrews. And in verse 14, we read, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. You know, we can find joy. We can find joy during this Christmas time, despite suffering, despite pain, because we have someone who can understand, truly understand what we go through. We can cope because we have a Savior who can be there for us in our suffering. We are not alone. You know, sometimes we can feel lonely during holiday times, but we are not alone. The Lord is with us. He understands us. He understands our pain. He understands what it means to depend upon the grace of God as we go through suffering. And in verse 16, we read, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Lord is the best person with regards to understanding how we may feel in times of need. His hand and His feet were pierced. And there was also joy. Joy in knowing that after death, there will be the resurrection. In Psalm 2, we read of how one day the Lord Jesus will establish His kingdom on this earth. In Psalm 16, we read of how the Lord will not leave His soul in Sheol. And He spoke about the resurrection. And in Psalm 22, we read of how the suffering that He will have to go through in order to bring about the resurrection. You know, for some of us, we may feel challenged by the problems of life. We may also feel fear with reference to death. But for the Lord Jesus, His focus was on the Word of God. And He did not fear death, but He learned to cope. He learned obedience. And because of that, we have a great high priest. We have someone that we can turn to in our times of need and find grace and help. And we can find joy during this Christmas time. The other day, when I met with my godson, Ashton, he came to me and he asked me how I was. I told him I was fine. And his father told me that he didn't do so well for his results. So I asked him, "How did you do for your exam?" He gave me a big smile and he said, "Very bad." And you know, that image never left my mind. There was a big smile on his face, despite doing very bad. Later, a mother came to me and said, "Actually, if you add up all the marks for the whole year, he didn't do so bad. But for that one test, he did quite bad." And you know, that image of him smiling never left my mind. You know, sometimes when we go through the problems of life, the challenges of life, the best person to focus on is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gone through so much for us, and we can trust in Him, in God. We can praise God for what Christ has done for us. My response to the Lord Jesus suffering on the cross is that I stand in awe. I stand in awe of a God who is willing to come to earth to die for us, for our sins. And this morning, I'd like to praise Him. I'd like to find a greater faith in Him, to stand in awe of His love and sacrifice for us. And this Christmas, let's seek to have faith in Him, and let's seek to find a greater sense of joy in Him. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we want to pray and thank You for the Lord Jesus, for what He has gone through for us on the cross. And sometimes, Lord, we take it for granted. Sometimes we don't appreciate what He has done for us as much. And this morning we pray, and even as we see the Lord Jesus, for what He had to go through, we stand in awe of Him and His suffering. And this morning we pray that You will help us to respond with a bigger heart of appreciation. And we pray that we can turn to the Lord, You, Lord, even more, because we have a great high priest who can understand us. And as we give this offering to You, may You bless this offering, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.